Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with y'all this morning. Thank you for being here. Feels like it's been a while since I've been up here preaching, and it's looking forward to what God has for us this morning. For an introduction, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. I love the book of Proverbs. There's so many practical truths that you can pull from here and apply to your everyday life. And I just love the simple truth that we find here in Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verses 15 through 25. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Leave off reading there. I believe this was Solomon that wrote this, and it was written as a father to a son. And you see the father's desire for the son to make wise choices, for the son to go good places in life. His concern, his love for him. He's telling him, choose wisely, do what's right. And when you do this, that will bring joy to my heart as a father, watching my son do this. And he gives him some practical advice. He says, don't follow after sinners, but walk in the fear of God. Don't follow after drunkenness and drinking, that type of thing. But follow God. This is wisdom. Also, listen to and obey your parents. Respect them, honor them. And then in verse 23, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. And he ties in wisdom and instruction and understanding into that as well. Buy the truth. How can you buy the truth? You know, truth is it's not something physical you can lay money down and purchase and hold in your hand, right? But here it says, buy the truth. And I think he's saying, put value on it. It is something to be valued. Spend resources to gain it. Be willing to give up in order to gain the truth. That's what you do when you buy something. You give up to purchase, to obtain it for yourself. And he says, don't just buy it, but he says, sell it not. Hang on to it. Don't compromise the truth that you have. This is something precious. It's something worth giving up for. Something you should hang on to when you got it and not let go of it. You know, this wisdom, whether you're a young son under your father or not, this wisdom is still for us today. Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, we sacrifice, we spend things, we spend money, we spend resources to get temporal things, to get things that will not last forever. But truth is something that will guide you through life into eternity. It is something worth pursuing with all your heart and spending for and attaining. There is value on truth. And we live in a world that is full of lies. We live in a world that takes truth and twists it, that mixes lies with truth to make it look like something that it isn't. And this morning, I want to look into this thing of truth, and it feels like a broad subject, so hang with me. I'm afraid it's not going to be as practical as I like to be sometimes, but follow my train of thinking here, and let's look into this thing of truth. I want to look at what it is and why it's important for us today, and to remind us that we need to be discerning in today's world. We need to be discerning in the things that come into our lives and the things that we face. Is this truth? Is it not? And also to remind us that we have the truth to stand on no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what lies we face, no matter what the world is doing around us, we have the truth. Amen? And it will not change. It will not go up and down with the politics. It will not go up and down with the world events, but it is sure and steadfast. We can be grounded in that. Now, children, I want you to listen as well. Here in a little bit, I'm going to have something for you. Got a little object lesson. I know Steve did one this morning, but we're going to have another one here for you children. Because I don't want this to go over anyone's heads. I want us to connect with this no matter your age. And I'll also say you will hear the word truth a lot this morning. And I don't apologize for that, but I also don't mean to be unbalanced in what I say here. But we are looking at the subject of truth. And the title of the message is, Ye Shall Know the Truth. So what is truth? Pilate asked this question in John chapter 18. When Jesus was standing before him, he was on trial. The Jews had brought him to Jesus. They were accusing him of blasphemy. They said, we want to crucify him. And Pilate was asking him some questions. And Jesus said in John 18, 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now, I don't know for sure, but you could read into this, but that Pilate asked this question in maybe a scoffing, mocking way. What is truth? Do we really know what truth is? And there are many people today that are asking the same question. But I feel like we as Christians, as God's followers, we also need to be asking this question. What is truth? Not in a doubting way, not in a scoffing, mocking way, because we know what truth is, but in a discerning way. What is truth? Is this truth? We have all kinds of things coming at us. And you know, truth is under attack today, and it's not just a 21st century problem. It has been under attack since Genesis chapter 3 when Satan said to Eve, hath God said? Right there, he was planting in Eve's mind a seed of doubt in the Word of God. He was attacking the Word of God. God said, the day you eat this, you will die. Satan told Eve, did he really say this? He was attacking the Word, attacking the truth. And in the same way today, Satan takes truth and he twists it. He adds a little bit of lie to it, tweaks it, where it still has a resemblance of truth. But when you dig into it and you look at it, you realize there is a lie behind it that is leading a different direction. And he does that with the Word of God. We're going to look into that a little bit later about the truth of the Word of God. But Satan can take these scriptures and uses them, he twists them, uses them to promote a lie. But we know God's Word does not change, and it is the basis for truth. Most of you would know what I'm talking about when I talk about D-Day. In 1944, in World War II, the war had been going on for a number of years, and France was occupied by Germany. And D-Day was the plan for the Allied forces to make a landing on France, cross the English Channel, land on France, and push in to try to drive Germany out of France. But what we often don't hear about is the operation that supported D-Day. This operation was called, Operation Fortitude. It was a total separate operation outside of the D-Day goings-on that it was an operation of deception. They made a fake army. This was Allied troops now. They made a fake army. They made fake tanks, fake airplanes, fake ships. They even had radio correspondence going on about fake operations, fake plans, where German spies listening in could hear this and report it back to their officers. And through all that, it was a very, very sophisticated operation. A lot of money was spent on it, a lot of time put into this deception. And it worked. It worked very well. It was because of this deception that D-Day was able to go on. And as we know, D-Day was the turning point of World War II, which eventually led to the defeat of Germany and the end of the war. But the Germans were taken by surprise. When this deception was telling them that the attack is going to happen over here, on this part of the French coast, whereas the whole time, the Allies were planning to attack on Normandy, but the Germans' focus was over here. And when the attack started happening, many of the top generals in the German army were taken by surprise and said, this can't be happening. They're going to attack here, not over here. The deception had worked. And I tell that story to illustrate how powerful a deception can be. And you know, our enemy does the same thing to us today. He takes things that are a form of the truth. He makes it look like this is real. This is going to happen. And yet, the whole time it is a deception and it's leading us the wrong way. Satan is a master at deception. He is a master at lying. And you know, a good lie has some truth in it. The D-Day operation there, Operation Fortitude, had some truth in it. There was going to be an attack. Some of the information that was leaked in that whole operation was actually accurate information to help the Germans believe that, yes, this is true, this is going to happen. So there was truth mixed in with the lie, and that's what we face today. That's what Satan does to us today. So to understand what is truth, I want to look a little bit at what are some of the deceptions and some of the lies that we can see going on around us and that we face today. You know, some people believe that I can make truth be what I want it to be. It's relative to me and my circumstances. How I feel determines the truth. What's happening around me determines the truth. And that there is really no absolute truth. There is actually quite a bit of that belief going on around us, that there is no absolute truth. It's all dependent on what makes me feel good and on my circumstances. Bringing it a little closer to home, some of the deceptions and lies that we face. You know, sometimes we can get into unhealthy thought patterns. We can start thinking things that aren't true, whether it's things about ourselves, things about other people, things about our circumstances. We can start going down that road of thinking things that aren't true, believing lies. And that can greatly affect our lives. Our eyes can get off of the truth, off of the facts, and onto this thing that feels real and feels like the truth. An example of that is maybe when you're going through a circumstance that is overwhelming. I know I've been tempted to think before, God, how can God care about this? He's not listening. I'm praying. I'm crying out to Him. Nothing's happening. And you can start a little bit of doubt starts niggling in there. And if we don't repent from that, if we don't change our thinking, we can go down that line of deception. Another thing I thought of is the things that we read, the things we listen to. Often that is a way that false doctrine, false teaching can come in. Again, it looks good. When you first read it, when you first listen to it, it can sound good. But when you really stop and think about it, there is some lies mixed in with it. A closer look shows that there is some falsehood in there as well. And this is all part of Satan's attack on truth. All right, so we're going to shift gears a little bit here, and I'm going to do a little illustration for the children. Now, you children, I'm not going to ask you to come up. You can stay in your seats. This won't take very long. But I want you to raise your hands if your age is 12 and under. Can you raise your hands? I want to get your attention. Ages 12 and under, raise your hands up. All right. I want your eyes up here for the next 3 minutes. Should have asked Steve to leave that table up here. All right. Does anyone want to guess? Any of you children? Anyone want to guess what's in these containers? Yes, Ziana. Chocolate. Which one has chocolate in it? Yes. This side? Well, I would get you to taste it, but it wouldn't be very nice of me. So, actually, this one has the chocolate. I'll tell you what this one is in a little bit. But this is chocolate pudding, you're right. And do y'all like chocolate pudding? Do? I really like chocolate pudding, actually. Maybe I'm still a child at heart, but I enjoy it. It's sweet, it's good, and this has been taste tested and approved by my children, by the way. They really enjoyed it this morning. And so for our little illustration here, we're gonna call this the truth. Okay? It's good, it's sweet, we enjoy eating it, it does good things for us. Now here, this is good old-fashioned mud. Okay? This came right from our backyard this morning. And from a distance, obviously, it looks very similar to this, right? But, Ziana, if I was to give you a spoonful of this, think it would taste the same? No, it wouldn't. It'd be nasty. Now, this was not taste tested. We're going by faith on this one. But quite sure it would be very disgusting. Now, you children, we're talking about truth, and the opposite of truth is lies, right? You heard me talk about that a little bit. We have truth and we have lies. Or falsehood. And I'm sure your parents have told you to tell the truth, right? You're supposed to tell the truth, you're not supposed to say lies. And you know, when you tell the truth, we got a cup here with some really good tasting stuff in it, okay? This is the truth. But now, what happens? I'm going to give you a scenario here. You and a group of your friends are playing outside, and someone has the idea that we should start throwing rocks, and soon the rocks throwing turns into target practice, and the target becomes the window. Okay? And the window breaks. All right. Parents find out, and they ask you, who broke the window? Now, you got an option here. You can say the truth. That yes, I was throwing rocks. Yes, these people were throwing rocks as well, but I was too, and the window broke. Okay, that's the truth. Or you can, the other option is, you can say an outright lie. You can say, well, the neighbor drove by in his big truck. He was going really fast, and he threw a rock. His wheel caught a rock, and it threw up, and it broke the window. We weren't throwing rocks at the window.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. Okay, that would be a lie. Or you can say, yeah, we were throwing rocks, and my friend threw the rock that broke the window. Okay? You're saying part of the truth, but you mixed a little bit of lie in with the truth. Now, if you were to take this pudding and taste it, do you think it would still taste good? No, it would taste like dirt, wouldn't it? Even though it has just a little bit in it, and it still has a lot of the good stuff in it, the bad stuff destroyed it, okay? Made it nasty. And that's what truth does, or that's what lies do to the truth. And it can be tempting sometimes for you as children to mix a little bit of lie in with the truth, a little bit of bad in with the good. But remember that it makes everything bad when you do that. And another thing with this, as you get older, you will see this more. But there's a lot of good things in the world, a lot of good things that we hear, that we see, that we can do. But sometimes Satan will take a little bit of bad and put a little bit of bad in with the good. And that's what we're talking about this morning. You need to watch out for the bad. You need to be discerning. You need to be wise. And as you grow older, you'll face more of this. You probably are not facing much of this now. But we need to be careful and watch out for lies. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight." Do you want to be a delight to God? You want God to delight in you? Then tell the truth and stick to the truth. Follow the truth. That is what God wants from us. Hopefully that goulash there won't be too distracting for the rest of the message. All right, so this brings us to the basis for truth. We're still looking at what is truth. Diving into this thing of truth a little bit more, the basis for truth, to help us understand what we're talking about. You know, we have truths of nature, we have truths of science, things like gravity, that's a truth. Water is wet, okay, that's a truth. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about spiritual and moral truth. What is the guiding truth? What is the factor that guides your life? We all have something that is pushing us forward, that is guiding us. What is that in your life? The basis for truth. John chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. Thomas saith unto him, Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Here Jesus is declaring himself to be the truth. Later on in John chapter 17, Jesus says, he's praying for his disciples. He says, sanctify them through thy truth, talking to God. Thy word is truth. In 1 John 5:19-20, he writes, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There we have those three passages that I read. We have Jesus the truth, the Word the truth, God the truth. And here in John 16, verse 12 and 13, Jesus talking again. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. There we have the basis for truth. What are we talking about when we're talking about truth? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In essence, that is truth. And we have the Word of God, truth. This is our basis for truth. This is absolute truth. I looked up some statistics. Now, statistics aren't 100% infallible, so you got to take them with a bit of a grain of salt, but this is a little alarming to me. This was a survey done in 2020 by a Dr. George Barna at the Arizona Christian University, and I don't know how many people he surveyed here, but the group that he surveyed, both Christians and non-Christians, only 43% of professing born-again Christians in America now believe in the existence of absolute truth. We're talking professing Christians. Less than half believe that there is absolute truth. Only 42% of people surveyed, I believe this is everybody, not just Christians, believe that God is the basis for truth. Only 42%. The rest would believe that truth is based on how you feel, scientific proof, tradition, or public consensus. So again, take these statistics with a grain of salt, but I say this to help us realize that truth is being undermined. And there are people out there, there's beliefs out there that say there is no absolute truth. Truth is what you make it to be. And that is very, very dangerous thinking. We have the Word of God for our truth. And we can be assured that it does not lie. These words do not lie. They do not lead us astray. It is constant, not changing. And you know, if it's true that this Word is true, then we can stand on these promises. We can go back to this Word, even when Satan counters that with lies. If God says in His Word that He will never leave us or forsake us, we know that's true. If He says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we repent, we know that's true. And if He says that He is holy and He cannot stand sin and that there is an eternal punishment for sinners, we know that's true. It is here. And we can go back to that. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what we hear, the truth is the truth. All right, the basis for truth. Now we're going to look a little more into going more from the basis of truth. What is this thing of truth? We established that God is true, His Word is true. We have moral absolutes based on the Word of God. So there's three characteristics that I have of truth, and I'm sure there's more, but this is three that I found. And the first one is a repeat of what I just said. It is based on the Word of God. Number one, characteristics of truth. I'm going to elaborate a little more on this. If this truth is absolute, then we can rest on it. It grounds us. It makes us solid. Just like you have a ship, a big old ship out in a turbulent ocean. When it drops an anchor and the anchor hits a rock, hits the bottom of the ocean floor and digs in, that ship is grounded. It's not going to drift. It might rock around, but it's not going to go further than the anchor rope will let it. And we can be grounded on the promises of God, grounded in His truth. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Our God cannot lie. Our God cannot break His promises. It is impossible for Him to lie. And we can rest in that. Can you imagine being part of a religious belief where you're not sure if your God is telling the truth or not, or if you're not sure if he can be trusted. It'd be very unsettling. But our God can be trusted. He cannot lie. We can rest in that. And the tremendous peace that that brings is wonderful. When it seems like there is nothing solid out there anymore, even your personal life is being shaken, our God, his word, his promises, his truth is immovable. And we can go back to that for refuge. Second point on truth, it is not subjective, it is objective. In other words, it doesn't change because of my opinion or my circumstance. Truth is truth no matter what. What is true for me is true for you. The truth of the Bible works for anybody regardless of circumstances. Now, I do believe there is some room for different applications of truth. I say that carefully, but I think you understand where I'm going with that. But the foundational principle of truth remains the same. Whether you live here in America or you live in Kenya or wherever, truth is truth, and it doesn't change. Truth also sets us free. The third point about truth, John 8, 31 to 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, lies bring bondage. Truth breaks those chains and sets us free. And that's what Jesus, the truth, came to do. He came to free us from sin, set us free from Satan. And if you've observed someone who has been bound in sin, or hear testimony of someone and they are exposed to the Word of God, the truth, you see them dig into it and you see the Word of God start being revealed to them, those chains of sin start falling off and they are set free into peace and joy. That's what truth does. Along with that, it shines, truth can bring light to darkness. That example of someone living in sin coming to the truth, it shows them the darkness they are in. It shows them the bondage they are in and brings them to the light. That is what truth does. All right, so for the rest of the message here, we're going to look at how do we respond to the truth. We saw what truth is. Now, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to respond to it? We have several different choices we can make. The one thing you can do is try to ignore the truth or not listen to it. In Romans chapter 1, please turn your Bibles there, Romans chapter 1. Read from verses 18 through 28. Paul is writing to the Romans and he's describing some people who ignored the truth and did not listen to the truth of God. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Okay, so they have the truth. Hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. They know the truth. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God. Again, here's the truth. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And it goes on to list some more sins that they did there. But I find it interesting how it's worded in verse 18. They held the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they had the truth. It was revealed to them. But they took it. They ignored what it said, and they took it and they twisted it and made it into something evil. Used it on their own lusts. And you see the results of this. God, it says God gave them up. How does it say it? Gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we see that in the world around us today. We see that depravity of when someone continues in sin long enough, it seems like eventually God gives them what they want, gives them up. And we see that worked out in the world around us today, ignoring the truth. Now, we can look at this and say that we'll never go there, we'll never get that far, and by God's grace, we won't. But I want us to think a little closer to home here. There is consequences for ignoring the truth. It can eventually lead you in a direction you don't want to go, take you to a place you never thought you'd end up if you ignore the truth long enough. It can start a progression. I'm sure we've all heard of people that, or know of people that grew up in the church, were strong professing Christians, and yet something happened, and before we know it, they're off in left field somewhere. Not just leaving the Mennonite faith, but leaving doctrine, leaving true Bible. And you can look at that. How can that happen? And it says, one of these verses, verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't like to think about the truth. They didn't like to dwell on the truth. They didn't love the truth. And I think we as God's people need to be careful about that. We need to love the truth, buy the truth and sell it not. Make sure that what we're buying into is truth, because Satan can use that to lead us away slowly. And before we know it, we're somewhere we did not want to go. And we are without excuse, as it says here. We know the truth. We have the truth. We have tremendous opportunity to hear the truth. And we do not have excuse to not follow. And you know, God does not hide truth from us. He wants us to know. He wants us to learn. And if we seek it, if we pursue it, He will give it to us. Let's praise God for that. It's not like something we can't quite attain unto, or maybe we're going to miss it. No, if we're honest and open to God, He will reveal Himself, His truth to you. Praise God for that. So that is one response to the truth, ignoring it, not listening to it. But we can also rest in the truth. You know, we say sometimes that truth hurts, and it does sometimes. But truth also brings freedom. And when Satan is bringing lies to you and you're facing the thing of going down maybe thinking patterns that aren't healthy, you're starting to believe lies, to think down those lines, the truth is there to counter that. And we can take those doubts and those worries and we can leave them with Jesus and rest in the truth. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the truth. when those doubts, when that discouragement starts hitting you, use this filter in Philippians 4:8. Is this true? Is this honest? Is this just? So forth. We need a disciplined mind, because what we think can determines how we live and which direction we go spiritually. Along with resting in the truth is believing in the truth. And we would all say we believe in the truth. But sometimes I find for myself that it's a lot easier said than done. If I really believe in the truth, then why do I worry? Okay, that's one thing that I struggle with. If I believe that God says he's going to provide for me, then why do I start worrying when work is getting slim or something happens that money is tight, whatever? Because God said he will take care of us. We can believe in that. We can rest in that. We have to believe the truth. Take the word of God at face value. This is what it says. This is what it means. And then resting in that. Lastly, our response to the truth, we need to stand for the truth. We have the truth. We know what it is. What are you going to do with it? We live in a world that is, again, I said this before, but our world today opposes truth. And we can choose to go with the flow and enjoy our lives, or we can choose to stand for truth. Truth is not popular. It doesn't always bring comfort. Like I said before, truth hurts, and people don't like that. In Ephesians chapter 6, you can turn there if you want to. Read verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? With truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we'll stop reading there. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth. Standing firm. And we actually talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning, about what it means to stand for truth in today's world. And you could probably preach a whole message on this in itself. But I'm afraid sometimes that we as God's people can get too comfortable. Instead of standing, maybe we're sitting. Maybe we're relaxing. But here it says stand. It gives the mind picture that we're not just defending, but we're also on the offensive. We have a sword. We have weapons to fight with. And a standing stance means you're ready. You're watching. You're waiting for the enemy, for the attack to come. We need to stand for the truth. And I think, yes, this means living a lifestyle of truth. But I think it also means speaking the truth, taking the light to the darkness in a Christ-like manner. You know, truth does stand on its own. It does not need us to defend it. It will be truth no matter what you do. Truth will be truth no matter what you do. But are you standing on the side of truth? Because truth will prevail. Truth will come out on top. And which side are you on? And also, there are many people in the world living in darkness, deceived. They're bound up by lies. They need the truth. Are you willing to go there and take it to them? Are you presenting the truth by what you say and by the way you live. Is what you are living for worth dying for? I know for myself, sometimes I am afraid to stand for truth because of where it might take me, because of the uncomfortable situation it might take me into. And I feel like this is an area that I have not been doing very well at. And I want God, and He has been working on me on this. This thing of not being ashamed of truth, standing for it. And when we get the opportunity, speaking a word for truth, speaking a word against the evil. Again, in a Christ-like way, in a loving way, but not just sitting back in the face of evil. We have many examples in the Bible of people who stood for truth. Just to name a few, you have Joseph. He stood for truth in Egypt, and he got thrown into prison. You have Daniel and his three friends. They stood for truth, and they all faced possible death. The three friends by fire, Daniel by lions. You have the Apostle Paul. He stood for truth. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was rejected. And we know that that wasn't the end of the story for each one of these stories. We know that. But I'm saying truth can take us to uncomfortable places. But each one of these men, they stayed faithful in the middle of the persecution, in the middle of the hard. They stayed true to truth. And they did not back down from it. And our Anabaptist heritage, thinking about our forefathers that knew that if they take this stand, they will be very likely will be killed, giving up their lives. And they were so grounded in truth, they were willing to die for it by the grace of God. So in conclusion, I repeat Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. It is something that is worth pursuing with all your heart. It's worth making sure, being very sure that you are grounded in it and that what you're intaking, what you're feeding on is truth. Let's be discerning as God's people. What is truth and am I pursuing it? And as a church, if we can go forward standing on truth, not compromising, God's name will be glorified in mighty ways and His work, His kingdom will be done. Let's kneel in prayer.